Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer here in New York City. And I'm sitting here at my bright red desk on Independence Weekend. Today is July 5th, 2015. Yesterday was the 4th of July. Woohoo! America's birthday. Well, it's the birthday, kind of sort of birthday. There was some controversy about whether that's our birthday or not, but I like the 4th of July for our birthday because that's when we declared independence, and then we had to take action to move forward to secure our independence from Britain. And that was a war and then a new government and all that sort of stuff. But that was the day when we said we're out of here. So that's for all of us an independent day, and it all honors the point of moving on. And there is an energy in the sky right now of moving on. And a lot of people are finishing up relationships or looking at relationships they're in or saying, you know, I'm not sure I want to be in that relationship or committing to relationship. I performed my first marriage this weekend, which was great fun. And I have a mention in the New York Times, Sunday Times, because the bride and groom, their wedding was covered. And our job, Amanda Hernandez and Sebastian Perez, if you want to look me up, or them up, of course, it's their wedding. But it was really great fun, and it was about talking about love and understanding what love is. And one of the things that I read was a piece from one of my favorite ministers in the city that he had written, and I kind of read part of it and said, you know, this is actually from him. And it was about love. So I'm going to read you a little piece of that because I think it's part of the – it's a really beautiful moment when we look back and we go, okay, well, what really is love about and why are we doing this love thing? You know, what's the whole point of it? And this is a week of love. This is actually a summer of love. Not quite as big as the summer of love that we had in back when back in the 60s, but it's kind of a forward-moving love. So if you live to be 100, I want to live 100 minus one day, so I never have to live without you. That's from Winnie the Pooh. And this was a piece that Patrick wrote, which was beautiful in the ceremony he did, and I credited him and took and used it too, because I thought it was really beautiful. There is a moment for love. Love is present where love stands. Love is present where love is declared. Love is present where love meets itself. And today, witnessed by all of us, love is meeting itself in the marriage of Amanda and Sebastian. And we are grateful and say a simple and humble thank you as we witness love, emboldened by the essential spiritual truth of love and grace. So it's for all of us to sit this time, because last week Venus and Jupiter met in the sky. And they do this once every 12 years. This is pretty rare. So they're going to do it again down the road a piece. Actually, the Sun and Venus are going to meet. Jupiter's kind of out of here at this point. But Venus is going to station, and she's going to go back and talk to Jupiter two more times. And they met last week on Wednesday. And they have two more passes. And our job with this, and I'm going to spend a little time on the Venus-Jupiter upcoming story, because I think we need to talk about it, because everybody's working out their love things. And of course, Venus is going to come to square Saturn this week. When she does that, she brings a test to us of love, and she says, really, is this what you love? Do you love this, and why? And as she builds up on her square, she actually squares them next week, but she builds up on the square as we're going on a waning moon. So it's a lot about understanding what the story is with Venus. Venus right now is an evening star, and we've been watching her and Jupiter. There have been a lot of people posting on Facebook, oh, there's Venus and Jupiter. Last week there was Venus, Jupiter, and the moon. But they're traveling next to each other, and they're the two big bright guys up there right after the sun goes down at night, so it's they're lighting up the night sky. Venus, when she's in the position she's in now, is what's called an inferior, what she's going to have is something called an inferior conjunction, meaning she's on this side of the sun with us, with Earth. And if you think about Venus, she whips around the sun. And when she's on the inside between Earth and the sun, where she's going to form her conjunction on August 15th, she's a lot about the interior work of love. What our heart really desires. when she's on the far side, which is also a conjunction we had, and we had that in 2003 at the same area in the sky, she was on the far side of the sun. So she was the sun, think Venus, sun, earth. Kind of imagine that. So Venus is leading the ego in 2003, which is great. Ego leading by what we desire is a wonderful thing. Now, this summer, Venus is on the interior side of the sun, the inferior side, interior, inferior. Don't take it personally. It's not really inferior. But she's joining with the sun at 23 Leo, where the planets are right now in the sky. Jupiter's at 22. Venus is 25. They met last week at 22. And they're stimulating what our heart wants, what our love wants, as opposed to what our ego tells us we should want. So I've had a lot of people break up this last couple of weeks, my client base, and of course Jennifer Garner and Ben Affleck broke up, and I'm sure we'll hear of other couples with this Venus conjunct the sun, because what it's saying is, what does your heart want? Not what your ego wants, not what your mother wants, not what your father wants. What do you want in your heart? And more importantly, why? And the whole goal of the summer, and it is a summer-long journey, is to get clear on this Venus, because Venus is squaring Saturn three times, right? Not once, not twice, but thrice. So she's joining with Jupiter three times, and she's squaring Saturn three times. And if you aren't clear by the end of the summer, there's nothing we can do for you for 8 years. That's really not true. But I want you to think back on 2007 and what was going on then, August of 2007, about your love and your heart and your path and what that path led to for the next 8 years. And then I want you thinking 1999, August 1999, what was the heart path then? And then I want you thinking August 1991, and what was the heart path then? And each of those times, there was a new heart path that opened up in front of you that runs for 8 years. Now, we see, small plug, I'm teaching on this, Venus star point energy, which is really powerful in terms of our life transits. I'm teaching this in this workshop in Santa Fe, the first week in August, right before the big Sun-Venus star point. So come. It's a wonderful time. We're going to be at the Drury Hotel in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And you get to go to 10,000 Waves, which is this absolutely fabulous spa in Santa Fe. And I'm also speaking on the Sunday before in Albuquerque, on Sunday, August 2nd in Albuquerque at Catherine Boyer's house. So there'll be an email. You have to write her because she doesn't want just anybody showing up. You have to write her and then she'll let you know where the party is on this energy. So our job is to work with this energy in the heart space, right? And that's what the universe is asking us to do. And for information on that, it's on my website. I just heard somebody think that. I'm like, it's on my website. It's there. Not Catherine yet, but the other one. The Albuquerque one will be up later today. But the idea is, what is the heart desire? The heart wants what it wants. And we have to listen to it. And what we're doing by listening to our inner voice, our inner heart, we're of course adjusting and we're giving it a forward motion. So I had somebody today, we were talking about a relationship and it seemed perfectly fine, didn't have a clue it was about to blow up or end. And it was like, well, how does this work for what your heart is? You know? And when we think about it from the heart perspective, we're always clear. And 99% of the time, we go with some other plan. We go with our mother, our father, our sister, our brother. It's practical. It makes me money. Da 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 da. Whatever it is, think of all the different ways Venus can be deployed. And what she wants you to do this summer is to think about what the heart really wants, not what everybody else says. Now, what that means, you know, and we have to kind of think about the purpose of these transits. So she's joining with Jupiter, and then she's going to be squaring Saturn. And then all next year, we're going to have Jupiter square Saturn. Right? And so we're going to be, Jupiter and Saturn are going to be arguing, and the two of them are going to be going, well, you know what Venus really wanted? So it's really important this summer to get really clear with Jupiter and with Saturn what you want. And more importantly, to ask for it. Venus square Saturn is a scaredy cat. She's afraid to ask for what the heart wants because she's afraid Saturn's going to say no. But if she truly knows what her heart wants and she's working her heart path, which Venus is doing because she's in Leo, It is her heart path, and maybe that particular person can't give it to you, but Venus knows what she wants. We have to honor that, and we have to listen to her, more importantly, and especially this next month, actually the next 3 months. You're going to be working with this energy till October, so it'll get you very clear. If I don't get you clear, the Venus energy in your life will get you clear. Because what it's inviting us all to do is listen to the heart path and to really trust it, and to really trust it's an interior journey. It is, our Venus is the closest planet to the sun, and with Mercury, right now she's about as far away as she can get. She'll be the farthest away she can get when she stations to go retrograde at the end of the month. And she's going to station to go retrograde on the 25th. That's as far away as from the sun as she gets, 46 big old degrees. And then she's going to scooch back towards him, kiss him on August 15th, and then scooch ahead. And our job when Venus does all this is to invite us to say, okay, got it. I figured out the story. I figured out the deal. I know what I need now. I understand what the purpose is. And as she dances across this point three times, three heart awakenings. I like to think of these stories as kind of the Christmas carol. Remember Scrooge visited by the three ghosts of Christmas, past, present, and future? So just pay attention to the ghosts visiting you too. Great time for your exes to call. Great time for ex-bows to start showing up and saying, you know, I was thinking about you. Great time if you're in the mood to contact an ex-bow, because they are thinking about you too. Because we're all in the mood for love, and it is a summer of love, but it's a summer of love with a little bit of stress because Venus is going to square Saturn. So what we're building on this week is Venus's square to Saturn, because last week was her conjunction to Jupiter, and we're going to be feeling that stress grow. And, you know, your goal with Venus squared Saturn is to kind of think about, well, what's the path of the heart? And how is the heart not invited to that path, right? How is the heart afraid of the path? Saturn's fear. I had somebody the other day, and she said, so every time I'm afraid, I'm supposed to do it? I said, yeah, essentially. She's like, really? I said, yeah. Because her chart, Venus square Saturn, feel the fear and do it anyway. So we're all going to feel the fear. We all have to do it anyway. And we all know on some intrinsic level what that heart path is, even if we're not honoring it. And we can certainly get away with it as we're in the approach to the Venus-Saturn square. But Saturn is retrograde, and he is saying, you know what? I really know this isn't where I'm supposed to be. This isn't what I'm supposed to be doing. So while he's going backwards, he may say, you know, this isn't really my heart's path. You know, I'm not on it. I have to change it. And that's totally cool. That's our job. Saturn retrograde is our job, is to totally change the heart's path to make it match what we want. And it doesn't mean necessarily throwing out your relationship. It doesn't mean necessarily dumping your life and running off. It means adding into your life what you need to make you happy. It is no one's job in the world to make you happy. It is your job. And anybody that says, my partner's not making me happy, I'm always like, it's not their partner's job to make you happy. It's your job to make you happy. Go make yourself happy. What do you need to make you happy? And if you think, if by replacing partner you're going to make yourself happy, that might not happen. The question may be deeper than that. But that's what Venus is going to want to do this summer. So she's going to bring back the old ones who say, you know, I realized after I broke up with you that it really was my fault or my problem or I had da-da-da-da-da, which is great to hear. It also is, I really think you aren't my love, so I need to leave. Or you were my love, but you're not anymore. Or my desire has changed. The other thing is, Venus square Saturn, you might have gotten your dream, and now this isn't the dream ahead of you anymore. And does it need to dump the relationships? No, but it needs you to give yourself permission to go work on the new relationships, to go work on the new thing that you will find inspirational. We're starting a new 8-year cycle in August. We're starting a new 12-year cycle this year about the heart's path, your purpose in the world. Time to get on it and to kind of, Saturn and Scorpio, take responsibility for your own shit in the matter, as well as your psychological issues around it, about owning your stuff, owning your poo, so to speak, and allowing that Saturn square Venus to inform the bigger vision that we're working with. Bigger vision. heart vision, 8-year vision, 12-year vision. And then, of course, Saturn and Scorpio, back to Christmas, back to 1985, fall of 85, spring of 86, back to spring of 85 even, you know, because that's when the story that you're about to go forward into was formed, and now you can have a new chance on the story. So I had dinner last night with a friend of mine, and we were chatting, and she said to me, you know, Anne, long as I've known you, which hasn't been 30 years, as long as I've known you, you've been really pissed off about this. You've been seething about this. And I said, yes, I have been. Interesting observation. She goes, so when are you going to let the seething go? I said, interesting, seething. I like that word. So when are you going to let the seething go? I'm going to pass along Margaret's wise words to you. Think about where you're seething. How are you going to let it go? And why? More importantly, what happens when you do let it go? What energy does it free up? Saturn square Venus, we're holding on to wronghoods or wrong, you did me wrong, you done me wrong, as opposed to saying, thanks, great lesson, bye-bye, got to go now. So you want to be practicing your bye-bye and getting ready to go. Or if someone says to you, you know, you're really not, you know, you don't make me happy, you do it. You go, okay, bye-bye, because Anne says I'm getting a big new Venus cycle in August. So I'm out of here. You don't like me, I don't like you either, go away. Understand, the universe wants us to follow our heart path. And sometimes our heart path gets a little muddled. But trust me, this month you're going to get clear. This week you're going to get clear because you're going to really see it. Okay, so this week, moon, the moon aspects. Let's talk about the moon, little moon girl. Moon is in Pisces Monday. It goes void on Tuesday morning at 10:36 with the trine to Saturn. So that's a nice, good aspect Monday and Tuesday morning. Goes into Aries, 12:37 on Tuesday the 7th. It's in Aries on Wednesday, and it's in Aries on Thursday, going void at 9:47 in the morning. It's going to be void most of the day Thursday, but it goes void with a nice closing aspect of a trine to Venus. Then it enters Taurus at 3:49 p.m. on Thursday afternoon, the 9th, and it's in Taurus on Thursday, and it's in Taurus on Friday, and it's in Taurus on Saturday until 5:52 when it goes void with a separating aspect to Saturn. So Thursday afternoon, Friday, and all day Saturday, we're separating from things, which is good. Moon's in Taurus, knows what it wants. Answering to Venus in Leo, knows what she wants. Squaring Saturn, probably not happy. Big old T-square forming in the sky Thursday, Friday, Saturday, getting ready for Moon Square Saturn next week. Okay, so Venus is going to be in Taurus. Moon is going to be in Taurus, squaring Venus and Leo. Both of them are arguing with Saturn. The principle of desire, Venus and Leo, is going to be different than the principle of nurturing, Moon and Taurus. So all you people with Venus Moon squares or Saturn Moon, anybody with a Venus Saturn aspect, a Moon Venus aspect, or a Moon Saturn aspect, is a kick-ass week for you. Lots of stuff going on. Then at 8:16 on Saturday evening, Moon goes into Gemini, in Gemini all day Sunday, and goes void at 11:30 p.m. Monday the 13th with a sextile to Venus that says, gee, this is what I want. So, all good. Just kind of know that end of the week, that Taurus-Venus thing, really big, because the Moon in Taurus is going to go, this is what I really want. Remember, Moon in Taurus, exalted, bacon, butter, cream, you know, all those good things. Venus in Leo, passion, fun, excitement, big week for overdoing on the food, too. It's just one of those weeks because the Moon in Taurus likes good food and Venus in Leo is in the mood to party. So this big T-square is happening next weekend, and our job is to just kind of go, okay, you know, we got this big T-square, and then right off of it, early Tuesday morning, you know, sunrise, like 2 in the morning, Venus squares Saturn next week, the 14th. So this is a big T-square. We had one last week, which was good news for the Obamacare and the gay marriage, bad news for pollution, and there was something else, and I don't remember. But the Supreme Court came in with a couple boner decisions on Monday, but they had good decisions on Thursdays and Fridays. So we've got a positive thing. Now, the other thing that happens this week is the Sun goes opposes Pluto, right? So last week, when the sun was in Cancer, it squared Uranus. Actually, later this week, I tell you about that. The sun's opposing Pluto, and it squares Uranus later this week. So sun opposes Pluto on Monday. And then Sunday next week, on the 12th, it squares Uranus. So the sun is going through and stimulating the Uranus-Pluto square that we've lived with for the last 3 years. This is the illumination part. Sun opposed Pluto, power struggles, understanding the power struggle we've been in, 11:30 in the morning, Monday morning. There's like a power struggle energy. We're finished with that. We roll out of it. Mercury then goes into Cancer on Wednesday, and Mars trines Neptune, which allows us to look. Now, Moon in Aries is going to go through that T-square right after the Sun does. So there's a big setup on Wednesday, Thursday with the Moon in Aries to say, well, you may not have meant to do it, but this was the result of what you did. Now you need to handle it. And, of course, the 7th is a re-trigger of the eclipse, the 7th and the 8th. So the eclipse from March 20th is up again. And whatever happened on March 20th, for me, that was a pretty big time. And so I'm kind of ready for this week to be exciting, maybe. I'm hoping it'll be exciting. So anyway, the eclipse gets re-stimulated. And then next week again, on the 15th and the 16th of July, the eclipse gets re-stimulated. So we watch for the eclipse points getting set off, because when they get set off, we have a follow-up to the March 20th. So they're getting set off on the 7th and the 8th. Mars trines Neptune on the 8th, which invites us to look at things in a new way. Mars is in the very sensitive sign of Cancer. Remember, he's been changing moods. So this week on, you know, Friday and Saturday, he was in Aquarius, and today he's been in Pisces, so he's sensitive and emotional, and he's emotional tomorrow and Monday because he's in Pisces. And then at 12:30 on Tuesday, he goes in Aries. So Mars is in Aries, even though he's in Cancer. So he's sensitive, but he's fiery. Sensitive fire, right? A lot of upset stomachs. Fires, I always think of Mars in Cancer answering to Moon in Aries as fire in the belly. So you can have a little fire in the belly. And Mars trines Neptune on 6:43 that says, you know, for me to be able to get my dream to come true, Neptune's the dream, Mars, I have to take action. And in Cancer, I have to take appropriate action that nurtures the direction I want to head. So kind of watch for new things to start showing up with the Mars trine Neptune, but also really about the dream, what that dream looks like. And if we go back to when Mars was in Pisces, you know, and we think about, well, what was the dream I'm working on this next, you know, this next 2.5 years? Now is when the dream actually, we start to see if it showed up, right? So we kind of begin this, we have this initial harvest. Then we go towards the weekend, and, of course, the moon goes through the Uranus-Pluto, and that happens on Wednesday. So Wednesday is a very, even though the outcome of the energy is pretty good, it's a very stressful day because moon and sun are both in Cancer answering to moon in Aries as of 12:30 Tuesday, all day Wednesday, and most of Thursday, even though it's void during the day. But it gives a very fighty kind of day, even though it's a positive fight. You know, some fights are better than others. This is a positive fight. We get to the weekend and we get into the Taurus stuff, and the moon in Taurus digs in. And the sun in Taurus, in Cancer answering to moon in Taurus, digs in. And Mars in Cancer answering to moon in Taurus, digs in. This is one of the nice parts about being a Cancer, is every 2.5 days your mood shifts. Now, for all of us, we're all honorary Cancers this week. And so watch your stubborn get up on to Thursday afternoon and Friday and most of Saturday. Then we go into Gemini, which is about the choice. And then Gemini, the sun squares Uranus on next Sunday night, the 12th. And then moon squares Saturn right behind it. So we have a very strong energy of what am I really trying to do, or Venus squares Saturn, sorry. Venus squares Saturn right behind that on Tuesday. It's what am I really trying to do. There's a couple grand trines in the sky from water. There also are fire energies, lots of fire energy. So we have to honor the fire energy and allow it to express itself because it wants to. And, of course, when the moon's in fire, all the water planets that are in fire take off into fire. So it's fiery water, right? And just fire water, literally. You know, it's kind of an image. I'm not going to say it, but know that the fire water image is very strong. And the Indians used to call alcohol fire water. So think about when you've done, I don't know if you've ever done flaming shots, but if you've done flaming shots, when you're looking at the thing on fire and you go, really, you want me to drink that? And then you do, or you don't, depending. But that moment of looking at the flaming shot. So think of, you know, Tuesday afternoon, Wednesday, and Thursday as flaming shot day, if you have to think of them in another way than that. The other thing we have this week is, besides the energy of this big needing to take a change and thinking about what our heart wants, as Venus hit Jupiter last week, we're really working with that heart energy. Now this week she comes to square Saturn, and Saturn and her are not always the best of buddies when they're in a square. They're very serious about love. They're very serious about relationship. Excellent time to resolve your tax issues, to resolve outstanding pay issues, to negotiate with your creditors, if you need to do that, to deal with issues of money, finance, inheritance, things like that. So as the sun goes through, because he's going from 13 Cancer to 20 Cancer, he's going to go through that 7 degrees. He's going to oppose Pluto on the 6th, and then he's going to square Uranus on the 12th. That's 6 days. He's in the middle period. So he's going to really be working up for each of us what the Uranus-Pluto square was for us about on an emotional level as he goes from Pisces to Aries to Taurus, the personal planets, the personal signs, to Gemini. And he's inviting us to say, gee, oh, that's what it was for. Now I get it. And he's also in conjunct to Pallas Athena, and the two of them are having a little chat, right? You know, the sun and Pallas Athena, she's the one that goes, don't you see the patterns here? Don't you see the patterns? And there's a part of you that does see the patterns, but there's another part of you that really likes the patterns. That's why Saturn's back in Scorpio for one last time. He's saying, yo, you can keep those patterns if you want to, but if you keep them, it might be a little problematic down the road. Do you want to change those patterns? You want to maybe try something different? So on the 11th, watch for the sun's biquintile to Pallas Athena. It's going to offer you an opportunity on how to change the patterns and to do it in a new way. And that can be anything. That can be finishing your tasks. That can be doing it partially. That can be saying, gee, you know, I do this and I keep having the same outcome and maybe I want to do something different. What can I do different? So watch on the 11th, because Pallas Athena is going to tell the sun, this is how you can change it. You really want to change it? If you really want to change it, this is how you can do it. And so watch for that energy, because it's pretty powerful. Mercury, of course, has cleared his shadow. He enters Cancer on the 8th, and he's whipping along. He is going to have a little bit of an argument with Saturn on the 7th of July, on Tuesday, when he has an in-conjunct to him. And remember, Saturn in Scorpio is kind of fixed in his ways. You know, he believes he's right, and he doesn't really see necessarily the reason to change, because everybody else is wrong, but he's right. And Mercury in Gemini goes, oh, but don't you see how you contributed to the problem by doing this? And it's a fast-moving comment, but pay attention on the 7th for someone pointing out to you how you have created or contributed to this problem. Opportunity to connect with really interesting people on July 10th as Mercury squares the nodes. Or an opportunity to say, you know what, I think I want to change things. Because Mercury's in Cancer, squaring the nodes on the 10th, inviting a new way of looking, or an opportunity to dig in a little harder to the bad old thing that isn't working very well for you in the first place, and to say, no, I'm not going to change and you can't make me, which, of course, is totally an option. Just remember, Saturn gets meaner if you don't change. Mars is trying to Neptune. Mars is going from 8 Cancer through 10, and he does have a trine to Neptune midweek, inspiring us, inviting us, asking us for a new dream. Venus has a biquintile to the south node on the 12th. That can be a separating, letting go, releasing energy. Venus wants to let something go on the 12th. Let her let it go. If you get broken up on the 12th, get broken up with on the 12th, or you want to break up with somebody on the 12th, you're probably supposed to get rid of them. And on that note, the British lady says, I'm done, so I'm off. watch for partnership changes on the 12th, too. Take care, and I will see you all next week. Happy 4th of July weekend. Have fun. Last opportunity for some watermelon before you have to go to work on Monday. Bye.